Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14 is our lesson for this morning. I think a lot of you read the fish wrapper, and I was just reading some. Our daughter gave us some. I hardly ever get to Lancaster County. But there was one thing in there I thought I ought to share with you. You may think that you can live fine without Christ, but you cannot afford to die without him. That's some food for thought. Now Moses, kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. A verse that really stood out to me is verse 11, when Moses said, Who am I? And I'm thinking the same thing of our brother that's going to preach this morning. Who am I? But the Lord, all we need to say is, I am has sent me. I am. The great I am. Who can we serve greater than him? Let us pray.
Good morning. I too would like to greet each of you. I think this thing's on. Greet each of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that left the glories of heaven to come and give us a way for salvation. What a wonderful thought. Thank you, Brother Robert, for your prayer and the reading of the scripture. And I also would like to thank the congregation for your prayers this week. I received many, many texts and phone calls, people telling me in person they're praying for me, and that means a lot. And I feel the Spirit already this morning, just little things moving. It's wonderful that the song really led there. He leadeth me a blessed thought. Because this morning we're going to talk about God's call. Yeah, I'll try to keep my emotions together here a little bit. Ever since July the 17th, when the Pleasant Hill Brethren decided to meet and call two ministers and four deacons, and my name was called to see if I would accept that responsibility as a minister, I knew that this day would come, this day that I would come and stand before you for the first time and deliver a message. And even though this is my first time standing before you, looking into your faces, it's not the first time that I've seen your faces, just not quite from this angle. You're just standing down here, leading singing. And I'll just say this about leading singing. I have enjoyed leading singing immensely over the past years. I hope that has shown. And I would pray that the enthusiasm, the love I have for leading singing would carry over into this ministry that God has called us to now. It has been a blessing to be a song leader. As I think about this new chapter, starting this new chapter in my life and the life of my family, I'm made to think of a time quite a few years ago. I'm going to guess probably 20 to 22 years ago. I'd have been maybe 12, 13 years old. And I remember a conversation I had with my father. I'm not exactly sure why this conversation started. I'm thinking probably I needed some correction or a bad attitude or something, maybe. I'm getting into my teenage years. And I remember Dad taking me to the side, maybe, or talking to me there, and he said, "Dustin, your mother and I have never raised teenagers before." Can you do your best to work with us? We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to fail at times. Can you work with us? Forgive us when we fail. I agreed to that request. And now I'd like to have some of the same conversation with you as my home congregation. I have never been a preacher or minister before. And I'm going to make some mistakes. I would ask that you, when I make mistakes, that you would be able to work with me and we would be able to come out through those mistakes on the other side better. And I know you will. And thank you for that. I do really appreciate the prayers that have been offered. I've mentioned that before, the prayers, encouragement, the advice I've received from so many so far. It's been a blessing. I feel your prayers. And I just ask that you keep praying. Keep praying that God would be able to keep moving. This morning we'd like to spend a little time looking at God's call in our lives. And so I would title the sermon this morning, God's Call. When we think of God's call or God calling someone, what comes to our minds? As I thought about that, more recently, I thought about it more probably, but as I began to think about God's call and God calling, I began to realize that God's call reaches into almost every, if not every, aspect of our lives. We tend to think of God calling, and we think of deacons and ministers and missionaries, God calling those. But God also calls in different ways. You know, a lot of different areas of our life God calls us to. We are correct, God does call deacons and ministers and missionaries, but He also, each one of us actually as born-again believers, would have experienced a call of God to accept Jesus Christ into our lives. Some of us would have been of early age, some of us maybe a little later in life, but we would experience that call. And as we accepted that call of Christ to accept Christ into our hearts, God continues to call us into different areas of our lives. God calls people to be teachers, to be mentors, to be encouragers, fathers, mothers, husbands, and wives. That is a calling God would call us to in our lives. And the point that I'm trying to make here is, how do we look at the place God has put us in? Or do we view it as a high calling from God? Or do we view it as something we just need to get through? Is our job a place that we go to just to provide for our family? That's part of it. There's a place for that, going to a job to provide for family. But is it a place also that God has called us to because there's someone there that needs reached out to, that needs ministered to? How do we view the calls in God's life? What has God called me to in my life? And what am I doing to fulfill that call? A few weeks ago, Brother, in our Mission Sunday there, Brother Steve Clapper had the Sunday School Hour, and I think many of you were probably here, and he talked some about the level of our desire, the desire we have to follow God's leading. What is our desire to follow God's leading? What is the drive we have? And so what is the level of our drive? How much of a desire do we have to follow God's leading in our life? What is the level of our desire to be the best we can possibly be at what God has called us to? Most times when we start something new or we try something new, it doesn't go so well usually. We're not the best at it. But if we have a desire, a drive to do that thing, to get better at it, the drive, we continue to practice, we continue to do it, we have that drive and we get better at it. A little example, I have seen children, and I won't mention names I guess here, but I've seen children who have never roller skated or rollerbladed before. And they want a rollerblade. And they put on a pair of rollerblades and they need help. They fall down. But they want a rollerblade. And so you help them. They have that drive. We want a rollerblade. So they practice. They fall down. They fall down. They get up. Fall down. But they have that drive. And they keep practicing and practicing. And soon, they can put that pair of rollerblades on and they can go. Because they had the desire. They had the drive to do it. If you have something that you really want to do, you have the drive, you'll find a way to accomplish it. And our desire to follow God's call in our lives is no different. Many times, I think, when we look at God's call in our lives, we look at what is to be lost instead of what's to be gained. In Numbers chapter 13 there, it's the account of the children of Israel, when they come up to Canaan there. And they send the spies in, 12 spies. Each tribe had a person they sent in as a spy there. And they were told to go in and spy out the land, see what this land's like. And it's interesting, and I didn't even realize it, the scripture we read this morning talks about the promise that they gave to Moses there about going and taking that land. I didn't put the two together yet, but until now. But the spies were supposed to go in and spy out this land. And we know the story well. The 12 went in there, and they saw it was a good land. It was flowing with milk and honey. It was a prosperous land. But there were cities in that land. There were giants in that land. There were walled cities in there. And they come back out, and they give the report to the children of Israel there. And 10 of those 12 were afraid of what they would lose. There's no way we're going to be able to take this land. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. We're going to be defeated. We're going to be slaves, whatever. They were afraid of what they would lose. And the two of the 12, we know those, Joshua and Caleb, they said, they saw what could be gained. They saw what could be gained by following God's leading. They said, that's going to take the land. God is with us. They will not be able to stand. If God be with us, who can be against us? They saw what could be gained by following God there. And we know how the story unfolds. The 10 were persuaded, the congregation there, and they murmured and complained. It even got to the place where they were ready to stone Moses and Aaron. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And so the consequences there of not following God's calling them to go into the land of promise, was 40 years wandering in the desert. And really, they lost what they were afraid of losing anyhow. They lost their lives. That generation lost their lives in the wilderness by not following God's calling. The Bible is full of examples of God's calling and different individuals to do different things. The scripture that was read here in the opening, Brother Robert read that. It's a story we know well. The story, the account of God there calling Moses to a specific work to go back and to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I'd like to focus on verse 11, as Robert pointed out. Moses' response to God and his calling. And he says, who am I? Who am I that I should lead Israel? Lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I believe most of us probably would have asked that question at one time or another in our lives with God's calling. God calls, and our response is, who am I, God? Why me? Why me? And we have all the reasons why. Lord, there's so many other people better qualified. This just ain't the right time, you know. Or maybe some other time we'll help you out. And we even see Moses here giving reasons. I mean, he gave the reason that they won't believe him, and he can't speak well. And we see God answering Moses in both those situations. But it's interesting to me how many times we try to counsel God. God, there must be some kind of mistake here. You're not thinking this through quite right. I can give you this, 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 and this. Why this should be different? How are we accepting God's call? We somehow think we know better than God sometimes. This morning, I'd like to break it down maybe to 3 points in God's call. The first point would be hearing God's call. The second point would be accepting God's call. And the third point would be rejecting God's call. And this is just a brief overview. There's a lot more we could get into with God's call in our lives. But hearing God's call, we know that God calls different people to do different things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about there the body. And it talks about the hands and the eyes and the feet. We can't all be the same thing. God doesn't call us all to the same thing. God calls different people to do different things. Also thinking about hearing God's call, I was reminded of the story, the account there of Samuel. Samuel chapter 3, it talks about that. When Samuel was with Eli there, and Samuel goes to bed one evening, they go to bed, and Samuel hears his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli, and Eli says, "What are you doing here? I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." And Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears God's call again, "Samuel, Samuel." And he goes to Eli again, and Eli says the same thing, "I didn't call for you. Go back to bed." And the third time it happens, and Eli starts realizing something's going on here. And Eli gives Samuel a piece of advice there. In verse 9, 1 Samuel 3, verse 9, he said, "Samuel," in my own words, "Samuel, go back to bed. And if you hear that call again, this is what I want you to say. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And Samuel goes back to bed, and he hears that call again, "Samuel, Samuel." And he does what Eli says. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And God gives him a message there at a young age. Things that God was going to do in his life and the life of Eli. And actually, Samuel was afraid to tell Eli about it the next day because it dealt with Eli and some of the things he had done. But at a young age, Samuel hears the call of God. And we can also learn from Eli in this story. Sometimes our children or other people will come to us with questions. They feel something. They have a call, or they know something's going on in their life, but they don't know exactly what's happening. They don't know who it's coming from or something. And we can speak into that person's life like Eli did to Samuel there, because Samuel wasn't sure what was going on. He didn't know that the call was from God. So we can learn from Eli in this story also. We also, I believe, will hear God's call a little differently, each of us. I can probably ask, you know, a dozen of you here this morning about God's call in different ways in your lives, and I'd probably get 8 to 10 different answers how God called you. God calls in different ways. It's not always the same. You may have an experience like Moses did with the burning bush. You may have an experience like Paul did on the road to Damascus. Or God may speak to you in a still, small voice. God can do that different ways. The question is, when God calls, how will we respond? That is the question. Second point is accepting God's call. We have many examples in Scripture where people accepted the call of God. And it's a beautiful thing when people accept God's call and they move forward and they fulfill what He has called them to do. We see Noah there following God's call to build the ark. We see Moses here, the scripture that was read in the opening, eventually accepting God's call. And he leads the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage, and through the wilderness. We see Jesus calling the disciples and saying, "Follow me," and they followed. We see it time and time again throughout Scripture where people accept the call of God. As we think of that, following God's call doesn't mean smooth sailing. Sometimes we get this idea, or we have this thought, that if we follow God's call, follow His leading, or in the center of God's will, we will have it made in the shade with a cup of lemonade, the saying goes. Everything's going to be just fine. We will have life of ease, plenty of money, no problems. But I read nowhere in Scripture where this is the case. In fact, the opposite is true. When we follow Christ, we are to expect persecution. I'm going to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours. When we follow God, when we follow God's leading, there are going to be persecutions. There's going to be troubles. There's going to be trials. All the accounts that I read in Scripture of people following God had many troubles and trials. The one I mentioned, Noah, he built the ark, obviously. He was laughed and mocked and despised for a couple hundred years there when he built the ark. People laughed at him. Moses, he was always dealing with murmuring and complaining people. Disobedient. The disciples, we can read their accounts there in the Gospels. They were looked down on, despised, beaten, imprisoned. So why do we follow? Why put in the energy? Why put up the fight? Why follow God's call? Why follow if it's going to be nothing but troubles and trials? Brothers and sisters, we know the end of the story. We can read the last chapter and see how it all turns out. Romans 8, we're going through Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Many of you know this by heart. I'm going to turn to it. If I try to say it by memory, I'm going to. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's why we put in the energy. That's why we put up the fight. That's why we follow God's call, because there's a crown of righteousness waiting for us in glory if we remain faithful. Third point, rejecting God's call. Unfortunately, the scriptures are also full of accounts of people that have rejected God's call. People running from God's call. We see this actually in the third chapter of the beginning of the Bible, the third chapter in Genesis. When Adam and Eve had sinned there, they had eaten of the fruit they weren't supposed to, and they knew they had sinned, and God calls to Adam. It says in the cool of the day, God came into the garden and he called Adam's name. And what did Adam do? He hid himself. He was running from God's call. He's trying to hide from God. The earth was brand new, all newly created. And already we have someone trying to get away from God because of sin. Jonah is another example, and we know that story very well. Jonah hears God's call, a very specific call, to go to a certain city and preach to Nineveh. And we know Jonah's response there. He runs the other way. He didn't want to go. Runs the other way. Are we running from God's call this morning? Is there something God has called us to that we just can't quite submit to? The terrifying thing is, if we continue to run from God and reject God's call, we continue to do that and continue to do that. When we get to the end of life, and we stand before God as our judge, he's going to reject us. That's terrifying. And I know there's not a person here who wants to experience that. There's not a person here that wants to stand before God and God said, I never knew you. So my prayer would be that each of us would have the drive, have the desire to be the best we can possibly be and what God has called us to. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil, for prayer.